There are men who possess a fierce passion for war, who live for the thrill of combat, whom indulge themselves into taking up war trophies, and who do not shy away at the prospect of pillaging and preying on the local women. These are men of hard resolve and steely discipline, whom pride themselves in their martial might and can be counted on to perform their duty on the field of battle. These are men whom strive to improve themselves as warriors, who seek to attain ever greater heights of martial prowess. They are not cowed by death, but instead face it with stoic resolve. To many, they are dangerous beasts that must be cold, but to one god, they are men of unbreakable iron. Abaddon is the god of purity. He is a flame that maliciously burns away at all imperfections indiscriminately. He is a god of power, who only tolerates those that can match him in pure resolve. He is the embodiment of the constant competition that occurs in nature, that sees the rise and fall of species. Strife, war, disaster, and conflict are the tools that he uses to weed out the weak, so that only the strong may remain. For all of his power, malice, and purity, Abaddon does not stand at the peak of the gods, for the benevolent Lord Yahweh will always be there to contest him with the blessings of the other gods. One might think that in the face of such stiff opposition, that Abaddon would attempt to persuade the other gods in aiding him in his ambition of overthrowing Yahweh from his throne. This line of thinking shows a lack of understanding of Abaddon's true nature. Abaddon is not an entity that would entertain the notion of having to cooperate or scheme with others in order to achieve his goals. To even suggest such a concept would be a grave insult to his pride as an all-powerful being. It is no shame that Abaddon cannot defeat a being that is as powerful as himself, and Yahweh would never enlist the other gods in order to humiliate the prideful Abaddon. The other gods would not be foolish enough to assist Abaddon in overthrowing Yahweh, for they know that if Abaddon were to defeat Yahweh, then Abaddon would become a brutal warlord that would consume them too in his violent inferno, since Abaddon views all those that are weaker than him with disgust. He is a competitive god with an idealistic view of the world. It is his conviction that all of existence must struggle and endure hardships in order to have the right to exist, and those that can't deserve to be destroyed. If Yahweh is the mold that gives the energy its material form, then Abaddon is the hammer that beats out the impurities and either refines it or breaks it. To map out the realms that reside within Abaddon's domain, requires us to work with the four character traits that Abaddon's character consists of, and from there, as our starting point, create a three-dimensional spectrum between the core traits and their opposites. Abaddon is the ultimate representation of the combination of the four character traits taken to their absolute extreme, which is to be powerful, competitive, malevolent, and idealistic. With this being the core nature of Abaddon's domain, we can deduce that the realms are in general very unforgiving, with harsh, brutal landscapes, where life is stuck in a fierce battle for survival. The Christian depiction of a hellish, fiery landscape that causes pain and suffering to those that must reside there would most certainly be found within Abaddon's domain, for unlike Satan, Abaddon does not wish to destroy creation, but rather refine it. Abaddon's realm is for those souls that wish to emulate Abaddon, or those that have used their strength to maliciously lord over others with physical violence for the sake of their own satisfaction. The realms consist of very harsh places, with the most unforgiving ones being those that reside near Abaddon, where one must endure the god himself and those like him. For the realms that reside on the malevolent axis, we have a spectrum of two extremes, where one must either endure Abaddon's unrelenting hammer blows as he refines you, or Satan who desires to destroy you. For the souls that travel to these evil realms, beware, for there are dangerous foul entities that reside there that will seek to cause you harm. Courage and determination will be needed to overcome those malevolent realms. For the idealistic axis, the realms there operate on their own idealistic rules, which focuses on the physical side of things, where life is either a fierce competition for survival within Abaddon's domain, or life is stagnant, safe, and stale within Belphegor's domain. These are very simple realms, with not much complexity to them. Of course, as with everything in regards to Abaddon, they are still very dangerous and difficult realities. However, if one were able to figure out how those realms operate, then one could easily thrive within them if they had the determination to do so. The realms that are defined by their absolute power are grand realms, where one either uses their power for their own glory, as is the case for Abaddon, or one uses their power for a higher cause, as is the case for Yahweh. To me, the question is if whether one desires to be a conquering warlord or to be a king who builds a grand civilization. Both of these options are very appealing. For the final axis, which is the competitive one, it is a fairly straightforward dynamic between the physical Abaddon and the cunning Mammon. That is not to imply that Abaddon is an imbecile. It is simply the case that he does not need to be cunning because he is powerful enough to overcome any challenge without having to rely on a clever scheme. And so the trials of his domains focuses more on one's ability to endure hardships of the physical sort. For some souls, Abaddon's realms will be seen as a place to receive physical punishment, and for others, it will be a place to further refine themselves so that they become closer to their god's ideal. Ultimately, what determines the outcome is what kind of soul you forge as you overcome Abaddon's trials of fire and pain. When I went to confront Abaddon, I had entered a realm of fire and ash, where all that was left was bare earth and stone. The sky was covered in dark clouds of lightning, and the air was thick with embers as if a forest had been recently consumed by flames. I found Abaddon sitting on a battered anvil of iron, which towered over me. He did not need to come to me or avoid me. He was a force upon himself, and he did not need to move for anyone. He was a powerful presence, burning with pure malice. His bare skin was blackened by the constant fire that licked across his body. His muscles had the definition of pressed steel, with the edges glowing red from the heat that was generated within. But the most terrifying thing about him were his eyes. His eyes were two bright inferno pits, but it wasn't the fire that made him so frightful. It was the fact that they reflected one's soul. To look into Abaddon's eyes is to look within oneself and to know one's own weakness. It is the weakness that we deny having, that we do not wish to confront, the flaws that shame us. To look into Abaddon's eyes is to be confronted by our own weakness and failures, and the shame of it burns us within. The truth of it sears quite painfully within us. This pain is necessary, though, for by confronting the truth of our flaws, does it allow us to find the resolve to hammer those flaws out, so that we can stand before Abaddon and no longer be ashamed of ourselves, and instead stand before him with pride and resolve. There is a certain dark charisma to Abaddon. The power and danger he radiates is quite captivating, where one cannot help but feel a sense of awe. He is a god that one can't help but respect, for he endures the same hardships that he inflicts onto others. In fact, he upholds himself to the most harshest of standards, and that conviction to live by his own ideals makes him quite admirable, although he is still a very dangerous god. As with all the gods, there will be men who are either inspired by Abaddon or are naturally attracted to him, and will naturally be inclined to walk his path. The path of Abaddon is the desire to stand supreme over all else, to use your power and malice to take what is rightfully yours. The undeserving will claim that this is wrong, that this is unfair. I can only look at such pathetic whimperings with contempt and disgust. How can it be wrong for the strong to devour the weak, when this is obviously a fundamentally observable fact of the nature of reality itself? How can it be unfair when reality gives all life the freedom and the right to struggle for their existence? No, such objections are only made by those that would attempt to slink away from the struggle that we must all endure, and the only proper response to such allegations is a swift blow to dispel them of their delusions. Might makes right. Only by accepting such a harsh truth can we refine ourselves over and over again in order to be finally free from our weakness. Only by holding others to the same standard can we create a world of strength that shall never fall. Such are the words of those that follow Abaddon, of those that walk his path. The path of Abaddon is a harsh one. It does not allow for excuses or mercy to oneself. Failure only means that you were inferior to your opponent. It does not matter whether they had defeated you with brute strength, a clever scheme, or by cheating. All that matters is that they have triumphed at your expense. The only recourse that is left to you is for you to acquire more power, learn from your defeat, and be victorious in the next confrontation. Walking Abaddon's path does not require one to become like the god himself. It is ultimately for us ourselves to determine what our strength shall be used for, or how much strength we wish to obtain. Of course, let's not delude ourselves. The kind of individuals who prefer Abaddon over Yahweh are the type of men who wish to lord their strength over their inferiors. The primary preference for a man of Abaddon to express their superiority over their competition is by demonstrating their ability to inflict physical violence onto others. Of course, engaging in any act of physical violence comes at extreme risk to the people who engage in such behaviors, and since their pride in their superiority does not allow for them to consider peace or withdrawal, the only option left to them is to be both more powerful and malevolent than their competition, in order to offset the risk to themselves. The combination of power, malevolence, and hyperphysical competition does indeed lead to the creation of lethal warriors. There is no doubt in that. Of course, the great dilemma that Abaddon and his followers must face is the fact that due to their extreme aggression, power, and idealistic worldview, that violence determines an individual's worth, has created a combination that ensures that everyone else will view them as a very real threat. This is not an undeserved reaction to have. It comes from a place of true understanding on the nature of the followers of Abaddon, who are inherently aggressive since they view life as a competition that they fully intend to win. This is not inherently a dangerous attitude to have. The problem lies in how the followers of Abaddon intend to win. Victory for them means that they have created a society that can dominate its surroundings just through its own strength alone, meaning that they have no interest in creating or upholding a system that would benefit multiple nations, meaning that no one can deal with them in good faith or make any compromises, since such displays will not be reciprocated and will instead be seen as acts of weakness that should be exploited for their own benefit. One should fear being conquered by the followers of Abaddon, for they will claim that through the right of conquest, they have the right to brutally enslave the conquered populations for their own benefit. It will be a cruel life of slavery, as the followers of Abaddon will feel no desire to inspire any loyalty in their slaves. As far as they are concerned, since they have defeated you in battle, it is only right that you now bow down to their demands in the face of their power. Any defiance to them will be seen as a challenge to their hierarchy that must be brutally beaten down. This policy of brutal aggression will lead to two outcomes, where either a large coalition forms in order to crush the aggressors, or the bitter enslaved populations will launch constant revolts against their hated overlords. This is the great challenge of following the path of Abaddon. It is balancing one's level of malevolence to one's level of power. On the individual level, being too malevolent while not having a sufficient amount of power to give that malevolence any credibility will lead to a rapid advance to one's own destruction. This is much worse when the followers of Abaddon seize control of the society. It is often far too tempting for the followers of Abaddon to give in to their desire to conquer their weaker neighbors and exploit those conquered populations for their own gain, which will embitter them to many, and while Abaddon cannot be destroyed, his material followers do not enjoy that same luxury. These are not necessarily problems. As long as the followers of Abaddon maintain a more powerful position than their opponents, of course, that will not always be the case, especially since their malevolence will ensure that they will never face a shortage of opponents. When they no longer enjoy a position of power, the only course of action that they will find to be acceptable is to become even more malevolent against their opposition, in the hopes of breaking their opponent's spirit. This path will only guarantee the destruction of the followers of Abaddon, Since, by increasing their malevolence, they will only harden their opponent's resolve to see them completely destroyed. Since their opponents will correctly believe that long-term peace with the followers of a Ben will not be possible, since that peace will only last until the followers of a Ben decide to break it once they believe they have recovered enough strength to crush their opposition. This never-ending stream of opponents will see the followers of a Ben be grounded down to their extinction, fighting to the bitter end in a final intense blaze of glory. Malevolence is the destructive element to the path of Abaddon. This fundamental aspect of those that follow Abaddon is what ultimately sees many of them destroyed, and their worldview makes it difficult for them to see this critical flaw. To a pragmatist, this might be difficult to understand, since being flexible in order to overcome an obstacle seems common sense. But to a prideful idealist, when faced with the prospect of having to change their fundamental nature, death is very much a preferable choice, for the alternative would be to have their prideful souls be shattered. It falls to the followers of Yahweh to keep the followers of Abaddon in check, not just through simple force, but also due to the fact that the followers of Yahweh are the only ones who possess the level of strength and resolve that the followers of Abaddon will actually respect. It is not easy to determine what to do with the followers of Abaddon, for they are like fire, incredibly useful, but also possess an inherent danger to everything around them. As followers of Yahweh, extermination should not be our first course of action, unless our hand is forced, but we must also hold firmly to our conviction in the face of their aggression. We cannot change the fundamental nature of Abaddon and his followers, but we can create a system that allows for them to be a positive force to the collective society. We must give them a home in the form of small organizations that rewards their desire for supremacy, their competitivity, and allows them to live by their own ideals. We must create a code of discipline and honor in order to keep their malice in check, thus ensuring that their malice is directed towards those that would harm our society and is never directed inwardly where it would cause harm to our society. This does not mean that they are slaves to be used and expended just for the benefit of our society. These are proud men, after all, and if our society is foolish enough to either vilify or belittle them, then we should not be surprised when their blades are turned towards us. We should instead honor and praise their service to our society and be conscious of their needs. The followers of Yahweh must be in charge of the society, not just for their own benefit, but also for the benefit of the followers of Abaddon. For unlike the followers of Abaddon, the followers of Yahweh possess the wisdom and flexibility to ensure that the society does not create an abundance of opponents that will see the society overwhelmed by those that would seek to destroy it. The followers of Abaddon must also appreciate that the path of Abaddon is not meant for everyone, and thus them imposing their ways on the rest of the society will most likely cause it to break. In short, we must ensure that the followers of Abaddon become disciplined, honorary warriors, while still appreciating that they will most likely still be very brutal. However, the goal was never to rid them of their malevolence, but to instead ensure that their malevolence would lead to a positive outcome. You cannot create the perfect man. You can only do the best with what you are given, and that is good enough.